First Epistle of John, chapter 1. Let's bow our hearts and heads before God in prayer, asking for His divine touch. Our Father, thank You for Your blessings today. Thank You that You read even and hear even our tears. Thank You, Lord, that You know who we are. I pray that You would bless us now as we look into Your Word. Bless us with Your anointing, with Your special touch. Open our ears and our hearts that we would be able to receive of what You have for us tonight. We need Your touch. I need Your touch. I need Your anointing. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." That's why he's writing, he says, isn't it? "These things I write unto you, that your joy may be full." How's your joy? I'm not going to talk about that tonight, but that is a pretty good subject. How is it with your heart and your level of joy? Verse number 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Somebody said that the Apostle John is one of the most positive writers in the entire Bible. He wrote in this epistle that, and he was asserting that there is a definite experience that can be arrived at or attained, but they come with definite conditions. Somebody might suggest that he was a little bit bitter against false professors, because he said that if you claim the experience without meeting the conditions, you lie. You tell the falsehood. If you claim to walk with Him, you have fellowship with Him, you claim to have all of that, but you're walking in darkness, then you're not really talking about the truth. When he says here in this passage, in these two verses here specifically, talking about fellowship, and then in verse number 7, he's speaking specifically about light. What does he mean? What is light? Do we all understand what he's talking about here when he said, if you walk in the light? Is it a candle that somebody lights? Is it because we have electricity in the sanctuary, that's the light? Or what is this light that he's saying, if you walk in the light? He's talking about darkness too, that there is a darkness. So there's the opposite of the light. When the light is no longer shining, there's a darkness. Do you know what he's talking about? I guess you can find some kind of a definition in the dictionary. Webster's dictionary is a common one to look into. And it defines a physical light as an imponderable agent by which objects are rendered visible, an illuminating or an enlightening agent. Well, that sounds kind of deep and big. When John says, if we walk in the light, we are basically to understand here that what he's saying is that when we know to do something, when we have the knowledge to do right, then that's light to us. When we have knowledge not to do something that God doesn't want us to do, that is light. The Holy Spirit in His light has illuminated the will of God in certain aspects of our lives so that we know to do right or we know not to do something. Spiritual light illuminates the will of God and His plan is revealed. The light. Now, how do we receive light? How do you receive light? Do you receive light only when the preacher's preaching? Say, well, wait a minute, Brother Ziegler, that sounds kind of like it's perhaps loaded, a loaded question. It could be. Because if I'm standing up here professing that the only way for you to get light is through my preaching, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble because I'm human and you're human, and you may not hear something or you may hear something that I didn't even say. It happens. Just ask my wife and myself. It happens. And so I know if it happens right here, I'm pretty sure it happens elsewhere. How do you get light? How does God expect us to get light? Yeah, that's part of it, that God can give light through the preaching of His Word. That is a good means of receiving light. But the reception of light should be mainly when we have contact, visual heart contact with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit dwelling, abiding within us to show us. I know far too many people, I've known of far too many people, don't know that I can point to them in the present tense, but I know that some in the past who have attended churches where the pastor did not preach on much of anything in the way of right and wrong, God's will in the things that we do or don't do, and yet the Holy Spirit, because the person was hungry for the things of God and sought after the Word of God, the Holy Spirit led them. Light is the revealed will. Somebody wrote this down. Somebody said that this was a definition that God gave to them. Light is the revealed will of God, whether He chooses to make His will known by the writing of His Word or the prompting of His Spirit. Once that His will regarding a matter is made known, it becomes binding on all that hope to come unafraid into His presence. Now, I've heard people say before that they don't have light on that. I don't have light on that. I've actually heard somebody say one time that if God wants me to do that, He's going to have to hit me on with a 2x4. Well, that's kind of a start to rebellion. If God has to deal that way with us. Now, when a person says that they don't have light on something, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have light on it, or that they do have light on it. It could just simply be that they're not searching the Scriptures and allowing the Holy Spirit to abide within to teach them. Have you ever heard of somebody avoiding church so that they didn't receive light? Oh, it happens. The same way people won't read certain passages of Scripture because they don't want to know what they, you know, that might get a little too close for them. We want to stick close to these special verses, these praise verses, these encouraging verses. We don't want to deal with the straight gate and the narrow way kind of verses. No, those are too rigid for us today. We don't want that. And so we stay away from it. You know, there's people that actually avoid things so that they can say that they don't have light. I wonder what God's really thinking about that. I wonder how God really works with that. The Holy Spirit is the dispenser of light. I know that there's been times that I have preached things, and one thing stands out in my mind very distinctly, and it was at one of the churches that I've pastored. I preached something, and I really thought that I was hard on it. I really thought that I was coming down the line on it. Time went on, time went by. We had an evangelist come in, none other than Rollin Mitchell. And in one of the services in a revival meeting with Rollin Mitchell, he just passingly mentioned something about that particular topic. And a lady came to me afterwards and said, "Brother Ziegler, why have you never preached on this?" Good morning. And I said, "I did, and you were here." What was that? You see, I believe that there are times that the preacher might preach on something that the Holy Spirit might close their ears to, or it's also possible on the other side of things that the devil will close their ears to. I don't know which side of that may be for any one individual, and I don't know what it was for that particular person. But the Holy Spirit is the dispenser of light. Even if a preacher is not faithful in giving light from Scripture, the Holy Spirit, as He abides in the heart, He will dispense light. If the Bible is on the shelf, the Holy Spirit is not in the heart, it's kind of hard to have light dispensed to your heart in that way. Now, what is gained? What is gained by walking in the light? We have two things that are listed here in this passage that we are able to gain if we walk in the light. Number one, we have fellowship with the Father. Number two, we have cleansing from all sin by the blood of Christ. Now we can see that the word fellowship would have to do with association. The word fellowship would have to do with communion. The word fellowship also has to do with intimacy. And so we see that this fellowship thing is a very deep and a measured aspect of a person's life. As they walk in the light, they have association, they have communion, they have intimacy with the Father. We have something to be gained when we walk in the light. What do we have to lose by failing to walk in the light? Is there anything lost? Is there anything that's possibly to be lost when we don't walk in the light? Well, if we don't walk in the light, then we lose that fellowship with God. Because it's pretty clear that if you walk in the light, you have fellowship. So it's very sensible to understand that if we don't walk in the light, we don't have that fellowship. Pretty simple there. If we fail to walk in the light, then how can we expect to unlock the storehouse of God's grace and blessings on us? Not that you're simply walking in the light so that you can have a prosperous life. That's not the gospel that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the storehouse that He has for us. You see, faith and disobedience, here's that word again, disobedience. Faith and disobedience cannot walk hand in hand. Walking with Him in fellowship does not go along with disobedience. Now, disobedience, you know, stay with me on this, okay? Follow me on this. Because sometimes we kind of soften disobedience and we soften turning our back on light or rejecting light. Disobedience, in many, many cases, is at least the beginning of rebellion. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there. I'm not saying that. I'm not dressing that. I'm not. And it's the beginning of rebellion. God the Holy Spirit pinpoints something in our lives and we say, no, I'm not going to do that. That is a disobedient act, but it is rooted in a spiritual rebellion. It's a frightening thing to think about that, isn't it? Oh, we think rebellion is when a person shakes their fist in the face of God. That's rebellion. Well, that is, you know, the gross rebellion. That is the blatant rebellion. But the seed of rebellion is simply standing back saying, no, I'm not doing that. When we fail to walk in the light, we lose fellowship. We can't open the storehouse of heaven. It's not going to unlock for us. There's a number of things that we can really look at here, but let me look at this one. When we fail to walk in the light, there will be a darkness where there was once light. And I want you to understand, I want all of us to understand this. When we have light on something and we walk in away from that, that light becomes darkness. Let me turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, be darkness, how great is that darkness, Jesus said. That is a powerful statement for us to understand, that the light that we had can become dark, and how great is that darkness. If I had time tonight, I could give you some examples of people that turned their back on God, that turned their back on faith, slowly, incrementally, slipping away, saying no to this and no to that, and they find themselves in such great spiritual darkness that they can't even comprehend simple truths from God's Word. Even though they studied in Bible colleges, and they studied under the best of professors, and they read the best of books, and they understood so much of the concepts of Christ, but because of the darkness that is settled into their heart, that darkness becomes so dark. Sometimes when somebody is grappling with an issue and the light is coming and the Holy Spirit is revealing, instead of facing up to the facts that they are not obeying God, they either judge themselves by themselves, they judge themselves within themselves, in the body of people that they hang around with and spend so much time with, where they ask each other if they think that such and such a thing is wrong. And usually the person that is grappling with a speck of light or a specific thing of light, they don't go to the person that is a believer in that as light, but they go to the person that will brush it off and say, no, there's nothing wrong with that. And perhaps even the person that they go to ask is doing that themselves and professing to be. You know, it's common. It's pretty sensible here for us to ask somebody that we know is doing what we want to do and ask of their opinion, because we know what the answer is going to be. A little bit different going to somebody who really isn't about making things comfortable, but simply recognizing the value of eternity and saying, this is what God's Word has to say. How many times do you think when somebody goes to another individual and asks their opinion of it, and they're doing that very same thing, how often do you think that person's going to step up and say, yeah, I do that, and the reason why I do that is because I'm just not going to do what God wants me to do. How many times do you think people say it quite that way? They don't. No, they'll brush it off. I don't see any harm in that. And then they might even list how many professing Christians that they know of that are doing it. God help us to hear and see the light from heaven to know what we are supposed to do, even if nobody else is doing it. Now let me give a little bit of a channeling here. The Holy Spirit will never lead you in a way that is not in agreement with Scripture. He won't do that. He will not give you some new light that has never before been seen or heard that does not agree with Scripture. He's not going to tell you something, and then when somebody brings up the Scripture and tells you then that the Scripture is wrong. No, that's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit will always be in agreement with Scripture. Always. The Holy Spirit will not always be in agreement with culture. And that's usually what we're hearing and listening to when we have this struggle and this battle going on with the things that the Holy Spirit is trying to illuminate in our lives to give us light. If we walk in the light, if we fail to walk in the light, I wonder what kind of an effect that has on our own personal revival or revival even in the church body if we reject light. You know, we're not living to ourselves. There's an influence, there's a rippling effect that goes around us, whether we see it, whether we understand it, whether we feel it or not. There is a rippling effect that goes on around us. And when we are caught up in darkness and not walking in light, we have an effect on people, whether we understand it or not. So let me turn back here again. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I know that verse 4 is written before verses 6 and 7, but let's take verse 4 and bring it down here between 7 and 8, just for the time being. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John's not trying to put somebody in a straitjacket. He's not trying to cramp their style. He's not trying to make them a prisoner. He's trying to give them the opportunity to have a fullness of joy that comes with serving Christ. It's not a drudgery. It's not a hardship. But it's a joyous walk with Him. He's telling us that so that we can have joy. So that we can have a relationship, so that we can have fellowship, so that we can have a cleansing. How's your joy tonight? How's your relationship tonight? How's your cleansing tonight? Let's stand together. I want to walk in the light. God, give me the strength, the courage to walk in His light. And I hope that you do too. Praise God. Is every heart clear this evening? Praise God. Adam Sickler, would you dismiss us with prayer?